The Old Man and the Gun stars Robert Redford as the leader of a band of elderly bank robbers. The other two are played by Tom Waits and Danny Glover. It's not a job for old men, you wouldn't think, but the way that they go about it is with grace and understatement, passing a note to a teller, giving them a smile with only a hint that there might be a gun tucked away in the inside pocket of a suit jacket. Robert Redford is every inch the gentleman bank robber with his boyish grin and youthful wispy fringe. So that when he starts dating an attractive widow played by Sissy Spacek, she finds it hard to believe he has a dark side.
Prove it.
Prove it?
Yeah.
You want me to prove it?
Yeah.
Well, what do you do if I can't?
I won't walk out that door.
No, I'm not going to do it.
I didn't think so.
Not because I can't. Because it's just not my style.
Not your style. Mm-mm. You have style.
I do.
Well, tell me what that is then.
My style?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's take this place. This place is not my style. But say it was a bank. And instead of that counter up there, that was really a teller's window. And that lady standing there was the teller behind the window. And you just walk in real calm. And you find yourself a spot, and you sit down, just like we're sitting here. And you wait, and you watch. And that may take a couple of hours, might take a couple of days even, but you wait. It's got to feel right. The timing has to feel right. And when it does feel right, you make your move. So you walk right up, look her in the eye, and you say, ma'am, this is a robbery. And you show her the gun like this.
The Old Man and the Gun is based on a true story, written and directed by my first guest today, David Lowry. His last film was the achingly romantic but slightly ponderous cosmic romance, A Ghost Story. And this is another film about love. And on the surface, it's a happier tale. Lowry lulls us into a kind of cool jazz groove with Rod Redford in understated form as the film's smooth criminal, who goes by a name that sounds made up, Forrest Tucker. Meanwhile, on the tail of Forrest and his gang is a detective played by Casey Affleck, a man in a middle-aged funk with your standard-issue family responsibilities and a career going nowhere, who makes Redford's character seem all the more jaunty. The twin impulses in Forrest Tucker's life, romance and robbing banks, threaten to pull him in two different directions, of course, and so from the beginning you feel that there's a dark cloud hanging over this relationship. Lowry isn't exactly the most obvious choice to bring nuance to this dilemma. On one level, you might call this film a retro exercise in which the 37-year-old director uses 70s-style zooms and his favourite actors from 70s films he watched growing up to tell a story about a time of life he's yet to experience himself. But Spacek and Redford do bring something emotionally authentic to the proceedings, which makes it worth watching. Here's the director of The Old Man and the Gun, David Lowry.
I first heard about Forrest Tucker when the article entitled The Old Man and the Gun was sent to me by Robert Redford. So there was never a moment where I was able to consider Forrest Tucker without also thinking about Robert Redford playing him.
Wow. So when Robert Redford sent you the article, was it a view to kind of, you know, this is a role I want to play, or was it kind of just filmmaker to filmmaker?
No, 100%. This was a role that he wanted to play. It had been a story that he'd been wanting to tell for a while, and he was just waiting to find the right filmmaker to take a crack at it. For one reason or another, he thought that I might be the right person, and I went for it.
Well, you're being very modest though, David. I mean, what why did he pick you? He must have told you. What were some of the thoughts he had on why he thought you'd be good to direct it?
Well, he had just seen my movie Ain't Them Body Saints that had played at Sundance and had been workshopped at the Sundance Writing Lab, so he'd been aware of it. And that is a movie about an outlaw in Texas, and it sort of follows an unpredictable narrative path. You know, when you think about movies about outlaw couples in love, you think about Bonnie and Clyde, and I went in a slightly unpredictable direction with that film, and he appreciates that. I think he really liked the fact that I did not stick to the well-trodden path that I could have stuck to, and that's something he's always sought to do in his own work and that he's always admired. And so because it was a story of outlaws in Texas, I think he felt that I had the right sensibility to tell another tale about a bank robber in Texas, and I had the right sort of mentality when it came to storytelling choices to make a movie that he would like. And so, you know, we haven't talked about that much. I always am afraid to ask him exactly what he liked about my movies because I don't want to, you know, get too deep into it, but I know that he appreciates what he calls the perversity of my work. And by that, he means the unpredictable choices I make as a storyteller.
Well, yeah, I mean, this film, just from its very premise, is sort of goes against genre type, I suppose, or convention. I mean, we have, well, an elderly bank robber, but he's in with a couple of other friends who are both, you know, men of a certain age. So that, for one, goes against convention, I suppose. But he's also, I'm really fascinated by how this character presents himself. He's very, I mean, a number of people in the film point out how polite he is, but there's a kind of almost unnerving calmness about him for the audience. I think that puts people at ease in the movie, but for an audience, there's a kind of, it places him in a slightly different realm to me. He's almost like a ghost in this film, for example. How did you and Robert discuss how the character needed to be played with this sort of gentleness?
You know, that's I really love the way you described it, but that was something that I saw as a potential avenue to go down. But for as far as me and Bob talking about the part, the thing that we focused on most was how much he just loved doing what he was doing and how he didn't really think about it in terms of robbing banks to get money or to get away with something. He really just loved the actual process of doing what he was doing. He loved it so much that he was just had an effervescent happiness about him. We really rarely allowed ourselves an opportunity to dig into the melancholy side of Forrest Tucker. We tried to always keep him floating on a cloud, so to speak, to just drifting through his life, just happy to be where he was. You know, one of the things Bob loved about the character was that even when he got caught, he was happy because he knew that that would mean he got to break out of prison again. And so there was joy in everything he did. And that was the thing we talked about the most, was making sure that that joy was always there on screen.
And that's kind of interesting because I think that works well as a counterbalance to his age on screen. He is this person who's almost this ideal person of an advanced age because he's living completely in the present, it seems to me.
Definitely. And one of the, you know, there have been a number of movies about, you know, gentlemen going on one last stand, whether they're actually bank robber movies like Going Out in Style, which was remade a couple of years ago, or Las Vegas or Wild Hogs. There's always movies about guys at a certain stage in their life realizing that they're getting old and they need to go get in touch with their youth again. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted this character to already just be essentially a teenager. He's someone who has never gotten old, in spite of the fact that physically he may be of a certain age. On a mental level, he is still a young man. And I never wanted to comment about that. I just wanted that to be part of the essence of his character.
Of course, there's a lot has been made of this film being Robert Redford's last performance on screen. Has he rescinded that?
He hasn't rescinded it, but I think he wasn't expecting people to make as big of a deal out of it as they have. He definitely talked to me a little bit over the summer about how he didn't want to act anymore. And it wasn't because he was tired of acting. He loves acting. He loves making movies, but at this point in his life, he just has other things he wants to do. And when you're acting in a movie, when you're playing the lead, you spend so much time just waiting in your trailer or just waiting on set or just doing take after take after take. And I don't think he's interested in that anymore. I think he has other things he's keen to do. And so I don't know if he'll completely retire from acting. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a really great supporting part came along that he really wanted to sink his teeth into. I can imagine him doing that. And I can certainly imagine him continuing to produce. I know he's actively producing movies right now, and he also has a script that he wants to direct again. But I do know that when he says that he wants to retire now, that he's done with acting, I know that he means it. Whether he sticks to it or not is a different thing, but I know he means it.
What do you think makes him a good actor, a great actor? What do you think, why do you like him as an actor?
I like the fact that he has staked out a certain space for himself in the culture, in our culture, as an actor and as a movie star. It's something we don't get that often anymore. I don't think there are any more movie stars like him. But when you look at him, he figured out what he was really good at and stuck to that. And he's played lots of different characters over the years, but one of the key things about them is that they all sort of feel like Robert Redford. And he's never been an actor to change the way he looks. He's always had the same hair, the same smile. He casts himself in parts that allow him to dig into who he is. And who he is, for lack of a better way of just putting it, he is an outlaw. He is cultivated this outlaw mentality from day one, and that is incredibly appealing to us as a movie-going populace, as a culture. And we really like seeing one guy go up against an institution. So he has managed to take that quality of himself and marry it to his skill as an actor. He knows how to act. He knows how to hold the silver screen in a way that few people do. He acts for the big screen in a way that most actors don't anymore. And he also...
What do you mean by that exactly, David? When as a director, explain that for the listener. What does that mean when you're talking about an actor who knows how to hold the audience's gaze on the big screen?
He is doing very, very subtle things every single second of his performance, and they're designed to be seen on the biggest screen possible. You know, he came of age acting on stage and then moved on to being a movie star, and very quickly I think he must have realized that there are little things that he could do that would absolutely feel explosive on the silver screen.
Are there any things you particularly liked? Like having, I imagine having watched so many dailies from this film and seeing, knowing his performance style intimately now, are there any things that you recall thinking in the editing room, wow, I love the way he does that?
Well, it's often just the way he will flick his eyes up at somebody or do a subtle double take or just slightly purse his lips ever so slightly or push his tongue against the back of his mouth. These are things that when you're looking at dailies, you don't even see because you're looking at dailies on a tiny screen. When I'm looking at the monitor on set, I might not see them either because it's on a tiny screen. And there was one time when we were making Pete's Dragon together that I went up to him and gave him a note about his performance. And I asked him to do something differently on the next take. And he said, I'll do it, but I was doing it on the first take. You just weren't paying attention. And that night I went back and looked at the dailies very closely and thought, sure enough, I was. I mean, sure enough, I hadn't been paying attention. He had been doing what I'd been wanting him to do, and I was just looking at a tiny little screen and not seeing the full range of performance he was giving me. And that's something that we're losing as we start to gravitate towards smaller screens. When people are watching movies at home more, the performances, I think, are going to have to change because the things that Robert Redford is so good at are designed to be seen on the biggest screen possible, and that's when they really land.
This film, The Old Man and the Gun, is a very romantic film, but there's a tension, I think, between two different types of romance. There's the human romance between sort of Redford and Sissy Spacek's character, another wonderful performance from a screen veteran, and the romance of the road, the romance of adventure.
Definitely.
Is that an irreconcilable tension, do you think, especially in men? I'm wondering if it's a film that's making a comment about the way men see the world and the way men sort of categorize or compartmentalize these two different elements of life.
I mean, I think it certainly depicts that, and I hope it's slightly critical of that version of manliness. It doesn't reflect me. I'm very happily married, and I love going home at the end of the day to my wife and our two cats just hanging out in our pajamas. But there is that aspect I recognize about masculinity that suggests like that loner who is roaming and searching for something. And I think the movie depicts to some extent the romantic side of that, but also criticizes it because you see the ways in which he's hurt people, and you see at the end of the film the way he's about to hurt Sissy Spacek again. And in spite of the fact that we end the movie with a smile, we ended on a high note, there's a great sadness to where he is at the end of the movie. And I personally feel it was my job to criticize that and to poke holes in it a little bit.
David Lowry, thank you very much for speaking to me on The Hub on Screen.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure.
David Lowry there, director of The Old Man and the Gun, which is in cinemas from today.